Thank you for selecting this message by Dr. James Hoffman. Dr. Hoffman preaches verse by verse through the entire book of the Bible. From all of us at Living Water of Lapine here in Central Oregon, we hope that it will encourage you and feed you spiritually. And if you would like to leave a message after the sermon, our contact information is found on the sermon page where you found this sermon. Now may God richly bless you as you listen.
Today we celebrate our risen Lord. Amen. Jesus has conquered death. He has provided proof for who he is. Because he rose from the dead, we can know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Savor the good news. Savor the good news. You need to know that I'm not asking you to do this. God has commanded us to do it. I want to call your attention to the very next verse that follows the passage that I was reading from a few minutes ago in Isaiah. Isaiah 53 that I was reading, quite amazingly, describes Jesus' death and the reason why more than 700 years before Jesus came and paid the penalty for our sins. He writes, "Break forth into singing and cry aloud." In other words, because the coming Messiah will take your sins upon himself and suffer a horrible death to pay the penalty that you owe, let joyful song explode out of you. But we resist that. Isaiah 54, 1, very well could be the most disobeyed command of the Bible. Because we have an exaggerated sense of how we should act in public, a proper looking sense of dignity and decorum, which is really a stronghold of pride. We intentionally hold back from obeying God's command. In some churches, they actually make it a virtue to show no joy whatsoever. But God doesn't. Listen, God, in his exuberance, created a believing community to express his own boisterous happiness. We're supposed to rejoice with him. But our stronghold of pride puts us in great danger. We risk making our hearts calloused and completely unresponsive to his joyful work all around us. We're very much like the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Never mind the man behind the screen. When Jesus entered Jerusalem to the loud praise of his followers, the Pharisees didn't like it one bit. But Jesus said, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Luke 19:40. You see, enthusiasm offends religious people. Because breaking forth into singing and crying aloud brings us down to the level of unsophisticated children who've not yet learned proper decorum and standards of dignity. Well, so be it. But just remember what Jesus said. It's recorded in Matthew 18:3. It says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Savor the good news. Don't let Easter meet a ho-hum from you. Let joyful song explode out of you. Obey the command. Allow the mountains of frost and ice within begin to thaw. Use this event to relearn a spirit-led enthusiasm. You see, rightly understood, the gospel is such a surprising salvation, and it could only make us laugh and sing and cheer. I pray for the day when we could put a notice on the front door of our church that says, "All sophisticated persons who proudly enter with a proper sense of decorum, take warning. Within these doors, your chilly pride is in danger of melting into exuberant joy. Enter at your own risk." A test of the church's faith is not only the wording of its doctrinal beliefs, but also the gladness in its worship. If we aren't going to hell anymore, if we stand to inherit every blessing Almighty God can think of, if nothing can stand in the way of our restored relationship to God, and we can't smile, what could make us smile? Winning the lottery is cheap. When I come back, I want to explore more of the implications of Isaiah 54:1 with you. In the meantime, savor the good news. Let joyful song explode out of you. Well, now let me read to you the entire verse, Isaiah 54:1, the verse that is right after Isaiah 53. It says this: "Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord." What? We can understand Isaiah's exhortation to us to cry aloud in jubilation. But what does this other stuff mean? What's up with this barren woman who will have children? What's that doing here? Oh, it's rich with meaning. First, we need to know that in Isaiah's culture, childlessness marked a woman with shame. This is because God has made in every human heart a built-in desire to accomplish something with him of lasting value, purpose, and meaning. And childbearing, despite many modern-day efforts to say otherwise, has been the answer for women. If you were a woman in Isaiah's day, it didn't matter if you had many great accomplishments. Without a child, you would still feel worthless. Your life would lack a sense of lasting significance. And Isaiah sees the people of God as a barren woman with nothing to be happy about. The people of God were very much like a barren woman with a sense of worthlessness about them. You see, God had asked Israel to bring God's salvation to the world. Using Isaiah's figurative language, God asked them to bear spiritual children among the nations for him. But they didn't. They were childless. And it was their own fault. Now, to invite this desolate woman to sing for joy seems cruel and absurd. But Isaiah isn't rubbing it in. He's relocating her happiness from herself to the coming Messiah that he just wrote about. The people of God shall see his offspring. Please look again at that verse I read earlier from the previous chapter. I asked you to take a close look at this. It is what our study here in Isaiah 54:1 is responding to. Isaiah 53:10. Let me read this again. It says, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." The Messiah will be crushed. His soul will be a guilt offering. But check this out. His days will be prolonged. Wow! More than 700 years before Christ came, his death for our sins was prophesied. And the very event that we celebrate today, his resurrection, was also predicted by this verse. His days would be prolonged. This would lead to the salvation for many. The Messiah is going to bear many children. Now, the people of God failed to produce godly offspring. They were marked by shame and worthlessness. Their failure is real. But another has succeeded for us. Okay, hang in there with me. There are two ways to serve God. One way is to draw on the energy of our own good intentions and efforts while remaining barren, void of any sense of accomplishment. And the other way is to rely on God's power acting in our weakness. Our best efforts can look good, they can feel good, act good, talk good, but it's sterile. Our hearts that have this built-in desire to accomplish something with God of lasting value, purpose, and meaning still yearn for it. Life seems empty and void. Pascal, a famous French physicist, said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in every person." And he meant by this that there is a universal longing to experience God's purpose for our life. And people try to fill this emptiness with status, power, money, sex, religion, drugs, worldly influence. But none of it has any lasting satisfaction. He went on to say that that void can only be filled through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel that is declared here in Isaiah announced that Christ took our emptiness, our sense of longing and failure, to his cross. where the shame of our barrenness died. He's saying to us, you are barren. You have missed God's purpose, but it doesn't matter anymore. I am making provision for you. You can live in joyful expectancy. The next two verses in Isaiah say this: enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your inhabitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Real joy flows from our surprise and relief that someone else is what we failed to be. In ourselves, we are this barren woman. We have nothing to be proud of. But we don't have to hang our heads in shame. I mean, look at what this is saying. Through Messiah Jesus, we are part of something much larger and way beyond ourselves, and is going to spread and grow and grow. It's God's eternal plan. It is His purpose and meaning for our life. We should throw our heads back and laugh with delight because we have found what every human heart longs for. Like what a once barren woman feels when she finally has children. We have a spiritual family that's multiplying and growing by a power that's not our own. Take an honest look at all of your failed and weary ideals that never amounted to much. Then look away to God's accomplishing power, working for His greater glory. Believers in the Messiah are part of something beautifully improbable beyond ourselves. Have you experienced this joy? That endless ocean of serving God in His eternal kingdom, living with His purpose, and having it motivate and guide you through each and every single day. How do we begin such a journey with Him and experience this purpose? Isaiah 55:1 says this: come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The grace won for us by the servant of the Lord, Messiah Jesus, is not theory. It's an involvement. And God wants us to enjoy it freely. His invitation is too good to refuse, too urgent to delay. This verse that I just read, Isaiah 55:1, lies so close to the heart of God. Now, why would I say that? Because it reappears at the end of the Bible as God's final word to us until Christ returns. Revelation 22:17, look at this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. This is the message God wants every member of the human race to hear. What is He saying to us? Don't just sit there thinking about this, theorizing, hesitating, making excuses. Get up. Come over here. I have some rich spiritual privilege prepared for you. Buy in through someone else because He's paid the bill for you. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Christ overflows with satisfaction. All authentic experience, Christian experience, comes from what he provides, not what we provide. But knowing that is not enough. We've got to commit ourselves. We must dive into that endless ocean. All that stands between us and God right now is our own sulky unbelief. We don't have to earn his blessing. We don't deserve it. How can we buy what isn't for sale? But God tells us what to do. Come. 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 Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Isaiah presses us. Endless vitality can be yours for nothing. Why don't you run there? Why? Where's the payoff you keep sacrificing for here in this worldly system? We have no reason to refuse God. We have no reason to cling to our unsatisfying, always fleeting, never lasting earthly pleasures. That which is not bread cannot satisfy. No matter how expensive it is or how hard we try to make it work, our world is a vast marketplace of unsatisfying but costly remedies for the God-shaped vacuum in our hearts. And we are not very smart shoppers. God is calling you to experience his purpose for your life and his satisfying joy. Will you come to the water and drink? Place your trust and belief in what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for you. He took your punishment for sin. And then dive into the waters of his great purpose for living. Serve him. Become part of something beautifully improbable that is beyond yourself. You need no further proof than your empty life and Christ's empty tomb. Come alive. He is risen from the dead.